Welcome to the latest edition of NHL Draft Class, and we are back for Season 3, covering the 2021 NHL Draft. I'm Adam Kimmelman, and here with Mike Morial, the real-life inspiration for Mr. Coffee. How are you doing, sir?
Doing very well, Adam. Glad to be back with you for another season. I had my two cups of coffee this morning. I am ready to go, raring to go. I'm sure our producer, Bob Bender, has had his cup of coffee. And have you had your tea? I know you're a big tea fan.
No, I'm backing off. I'm going with water. I'm trying to be a little healthier. A little lemon. That's all I need. I don't need any artificial stimulants. I'm raring to go. And we got a little bit of news to talk about before we get to our guests. Canada's World Junior Selection Camp is underway. Now, they were supposed to have one of the top 2021 draft prospects there, Owen Power, the defenseman from University of Michigan. He is not attending. The real big undrafted prospect for them is Shane Wright, but tune in for Season 4 because he's 2022 draft eligible, 16-year-old there. But it'll still be interesting to keep an eye on what Canada's doing and what they might come up with for the World Juniors.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a long camp, right, Adam? What is it, 22 days? They'll be
almost a month. It's almost a month.
Yeah, during practices, they'll have some game situation, intra-squad scrimmages. It's going to be interesting for Canada. I mean, they have 26, 27 first-round picks on that roster right now. You have six returning players, including Bowen Byram, the defenseman, drafted by the Colorado Avalanche. He's raring to go. He spoke to the media the other day. Dylan Cousins, the same way, another returnee, the Buffalo Sabres prospect. I mean, these guys are raring to go. I mean, they want to get started. It's been a while for them that they've been on the ice in a competitive setting. This camp will allow them to do that, get some of the rust off, which the coaching staff likes to see. They'll get some video work, on-ice work, and to do it in a month span is going to be interesting. And as you mentioned, I mean, Shane Wright, draft eligible not until 2022 from Kingston in the Ontario Hockey League. Special player, right, Adam? He's the youngest player at this camp. Does he have a shot to make this team? Maybe. I mean, let's face it. Andre Tourne, the coach for Canada, said, I've seen him enough. Tourne coaches the Ottawa 67, so they get to see Kingston a lot during the course of a season. He says that he has a decent shot as long as he plays to his ability and understands what he can do to make this team better. He's got a shot, but this is going to be a tough team to make this year, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch, and we'll have you covered there on NHL.com. But let's keep the focus on the 2021 draft. Let's bring in our guests from NHL Central Scouting, Dan Marr and David Gregory. Guys, thanks for joining us today on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks for having us.
Dan, let's start with you. What were the challenges with the player-to-watch list that came out last month? What were the challenges to putting this particular list together that made it different and more challenging from anything you guys have done previously?
I would say that it was more different than it was challenging. We're accustomed to putting our preliminary list out. The difficulty was that it's based on our futures list, which we compiled during our end of year meetings. And we supplement those viewings with our summer scouting, and we lost the entire summer scouting schedule. So there was no Select 17 U.S. camp. There was no Canada U.S. World Junior camps. There was no Canada U18 camp, no Ivan Hlinka tournament. So normally when our preliminary list comes out, the preseason showcases have taken place in the Tier 2 leagues in the USHL. And so we've been able to look at our players from last year and see if that summer of improvement has reflected in their ranking. So basically, all we could do was update only a few players that were playing in the New England area and Minnesota area. So we just updated the list. It's just not as in-depth and complete as we would like it, just because we never got the additional viewings in.
And Dan, just as a follow-up with that, what have you told the NHL member clubs as far as, how Central will be doing its business this season with games being played or canceled and teams you can see or can't see because of various health regulations?
Well, the NHL clubs understand where we're coming from because they're in the same position. So we've been fortunate. We have all our full-time staff. We're scouting by video, just like everyone else is. It's very difficult now, especially at this stage where even the leagues that have restarted and returned to play, there have been so many cancellations and postponements as the situation changes in each jurisdiction. So we're relying on the video content, as are the clubs. And we try and get our views in wherever we can. We were fortunate to catch the U.S. 18 team a couple of times. We're going to be able to get a view of Michigan that has the three top players when they play in Wisconsin this coming weekend. So where we can get our people in, we get them in. But right now, just like everyone else, we're relying on the video. And, of course, our role is to provide the information. So there's a lot of networking going on with the various leagues. Our scouts are keeping track of what's going on with the clubs. And then we just distribute that information to the NHL clubs. And now it's become a daily basis. Normally we'd have one or two alerts a week. Now it's almost a everyday occurrence where the information, because it's just changing so much day to day.
Yeah. A lot of video work and a lot of networking for sure. David, what are the challenges in scouting during this pandemic, and how do you go about your business and making sure, you know, you're doing the best job possible?
Well, like you guys have already touched upon, like, you have to use the resources that are available to you and work under the circumstances that we have. It is a challenge because we would have had a lot of views by now, like Dan mentioned, through the summer scouting, and you would have had a base of knowledge of the players, and you'd start to plan out, okay, how am I going to get to know them really well? So with the limited amount of games that are actually being played, you know, we see what we can and then adapt. And again, like everybody's talked about, you start to use video to familiarize yourself. And video has always been there to help you understand a player, but now it's going to have to help you know the player, which is a little bit different and a bit more of a challenge. So it's a different scenario for us, but we're adapting to it. And the effort that our guys are putting in, knowing that they're starting to rely on what we're doing even more, because you know, we've put our lists out early. We know the players coming into the season probably better than most teams. So they're very appreciative of that fact and are leaning on us even more now.
So, David, let's dig into the list a little bit. And I want to start with a place that would probably be very popular hangout for scouts this season, the University of Michigan, where they have three A-rated skaters, defenseman Owen Power and forwards Matthew Beniers and Kent Johnson. Power stands out, and more than just because he's a 6'5" defenseman. What makes each of those guys such special players?
Well, special is the right word for all of them, I would say. And it's such a unique situation to have three A-rated players on a college team. You know, that's hasn't happened, I don't think, since I've been doing this for almost 20 years. So that's unique as well. But with Owen Power, we've known this player as a very young player playing in the USHL, and seen, you know, three seasons of him there. And now we get to watch him in Michigan. He's just such a smart player who understands the game really well, takes what's given him and doesn't over try to do things. But when he decides he wants to join the rush or be physical or make a patient play, he can do it all. And, you know, he's going to step in and be, I think, an impact player right away. And Matt Beniers is just a dynamic player that we've seen use his skill and his ability to, you know, finish off plays and be a threat almost every time he's on the ice. He's somebody that, you know, is going to have impact right away as well, just because he's, you know, he's played at a high level with the national program for a couple of years and going to step right into college and be an impact player there. And there's a lot of skill on that team this year, and it's going to be highlighted by somebody like him. And then to finish off talking about Kent Johnson is he's one of these players that is just so cerebral and so smart. His play without the puck, he's always in the spot where the puck comes to and he gets these goals. It looks like it's always a wide open net, or how did he get to that spot? He's just so good thinking the game and being in the right spot at the right time. And then when he has the puck on his stick, it comes off so quickly. He'll outweight you and get an opening from the goalie and finish off, or instead of outweighing you, it's off his stick before a goalie can react. So I think he's going to put up some serious numbers this year in college.
Dan, on the European side, Atu Raadi seems to be the player at this point considered the top European prospect. He's already got good experience playing in Liga. He's already played at the World Juniors. You have to assume he'll have a leading role for Finland at the 2021 tournament. What is it about Atu that makes him special and kind of separates him from the rest of his peers over in Europe?
Right now, like this here is your scoring, playmaking centerman. You know, all the puck skills with his soft hands, he can shoot, pass, he competes, he plays with a lot of energy. He's a surprising skater in that he shows you his skill moves on the fly at top speed. And he just ends up being, he's a very, very creative player because of his skill set. And he's not off to a strong start this year, but because he's been a known commodity, this is the third year scouts have been watching him. He only turned 18 this past week. And last year, when he did play in the big league, he did surprisingly well as a 17-year-old. He, as you mentioned, he had an excellent international career with the U18s in the World Juniors. So now when he comes into the league this year, he's a bit of a known commodity. So now they know about him. So he's being checked a little more. There's a little bit more attention being paid to him. So he's going through what any 18-year-old goes through. My understanding is that even though the points aren't coming up on the board, he's getting the chances. And if you're getting the chances, that means that you're working and that you're utilizing your skills and your assets. So like he's definitely a top five player for the draft, nobody's really risen up to show that they're a better prospect on the international side right now.
So we had Spencer Knight in 2019, Askarov in 2020. And could we have another goalie going in the first round here, Dan? You know, I'm hearing so many good things about Sweden goalie Jesper Wallstedt. Received an A rating on the players to watch list. Currently his first full season in the Swedish Hockey League, having a real great year. What do you think about this kid?
This is another exciting young goaltending prospect coming up the road. Last year, Askarov was being talked about, the Russian goalie. And this year, Jesper is in the same category. Very extremely athletic, highly competitive, and he has everything you need in a goaltender, but it's that attitude and character and that compete to make the difference with him. It just complements everything you need. He has a good understanding of positioning. He has quick reflexes. He reads the play well. He understands his position. And when you pack the size on top of that, like, you know, this year is the ideal goaltender that you would want to take in the first round. And it's nice to have a goaltender that NHL clubs can look forward to, much like it was with Askarov last year, like, you know, a top end goaltender available in the first round.
So David, looks like another Hughes is in the mix here. Luke Hughes, the youngest of the three Hughes siblings, scored 28 points, 3 power play goals, and 48 games for the under 17 team in the National Team Development Program last season. And he has 5 assists in 9 games for the under 18 team this season. So tell me, like, how does Luke maybe differ from the other elite defender in the family, Quinn, you know, when it comes to their approach to playing defense?
Well, there is differences for sure. And obviously they'll be compared their whole careers. But the thing about Luke is he's different than Quinn, but you see that great skating ability and that ability to dominate by handling the puck and finding the open man. He also has the ability to rush the puck, but he rushes it a little bit different than Quinn. You know, we've all come to love how Quinn can dominate a game and have the puck on his stick for sometimes it seems like a minute at a time. But with Luke, you see this vision, this understanding of where everybody is. As he plays with up the ladder and plays with better and better players, he's going to be more and more valuable because he can find that open guy. His head is on a swivel at all times. He uses good size and reach to protect the puck and hang on to it to make a play happen. And he also is very effective defending and transitioning to offense. You think get by him, then he's got a quick stick, and all of a sudden he's up to the winger, and the team's transitioned onto the other way. And then his patience with the puck when he's in the attacking zone and letting a play come to him and forcing players to make a decision before he has to, just it's going to be very, very special as he continues to move up the ladder into the pro ranks.
David, let's stick with the national team program. You know, we've come to expect a lot of top-end talent coming out of Plymouth. Besides Luke Hughes, there's three other A-rated prospects there: forwards Chaz Lucius and Sasha Pastujov, and defenseman Roman Schmidt, a 6'5 right-shot defender. Which players, either those guys or others, are you most looking forward to getting a closer look at this season?
Well, unfortunately, with Chaz, he's fighting an injury right now, and we haven't had a chance to even see him on video that much at this next level. But those three that you mentioned are all guys that we definitely were looking forward to seeing. You know, Sasha Pastujov is a player that is really, really smart with the puck, smart play without the puck, that, you know, plays go through him because he's really thinking it well. And then his compete and his tenacity to win battles and get the puck is pretty impressive as well. And with Roman Schmidt, with a big 6'5" guy like that, you see 6'5" and a defenseman, you think it's going to be all bang and tough down low, which he can be, but then you see him skate and then you see him make plays and toe drag guys on the power play. And it's like, oh boy, this is a really, really unique package that I think is going to be very, very interesting for teams come draft time. But it is a very deep team. There's a lot of really, really solid players that are going to make this another one of those national team development program teams that get a lot of players drafted. So it's not easy to mention just one, but you know, there's some very good players. Dylan Duke, and the little bit that I've seen this year, again, using our video scouting, has really impressed me every game and how he comes to play, how he thinks it, and how he has an impact. And he's a player that I think could have a real growth year for the national program.
Dave, before we let you go, I definitely wanted to get your thoughts on something. I have to ask, you know, we lost a true legend in the hockey world October 29th in Travis Roy. Someone so respected, admired, left such a lasting impression on all of us. You know, I'll never forget something Travis told me in 2015 when I was doing a story for .com. He told me, you know, we live in a pretty neat sports crazed area, and Bostonians don't forget, whether they are sports legends that played forever or somebody like me who just played hockey, college hockey, for 11 seconds. How impactful was Travis Roy? I know, you know, the New England, you know, New Hampshire, Maine area the East Coast is an area that you scout a lot. So I know you've probably dealt with Travis and things that he's done. Whether it be as an author, philanthropist, how should Travis be remembered?
Well, gosh, it's a great question, and he's such a special person. And I came into the New England area in my hockey career as the general manager of an American Hockey League team in New Haven, and I'd been in hockey for a couple years before that, but I quickly heard of the story of Travis when I came into the area, and I was really honored. They were running a golf tournament to raise money. And as you know, his foundation turned out to be one of the most prolific foundations for spinal cord injuries that probably ever existed. But I was asked to be a guest speaker at this tournament. And, you know, I quickly tried to learn more about Travis, and I got to meet him there for the first time and was just absolutely amazed at how a young man at this time who had, you know, this had just happened. It was really amazing to see his perspective on things. And I was just blown away by that opportunity and to learn about how he was handling what was going on with him and looking at the positive. And every time that I saw him after that, see him at a BU game and or other events that he happened to be at and I was at, I always made sure I would say hello to him, and he would remember me, which is kind of amazing because of all the things that he was involved with and who he talked about. And he was always, always, always so positive. And to think about like you said, that New England area and how crazed it is with hockey from prep school all the way up to the pros, and the hockey fans know their players and what they've gone through. You know, you read his book and it doesn't take much more than 11 seconds to start to have your throat tightening up and learning about what this young man went through. So I was really saddened to hear it. I didn't know, you know, it just sort of came out of the blue. And you realize how young he is, but I bet you a lot of people thought he was significantly older than he was because of the impact he had on so many people. So all I can say is he's just one of those tremendous people that no matter what happened in his life, he was going to have an impact if he kept on playing hockey or whatever it was. And to have the life that he did and have the impact that he did was just really amazing.
And Dan, to kind of close it out here, just let's give fans an idea. I know that Central Scouting would wish to have one more players to watch list run. And then, of course, it's going to be the midterm release, which usually comes out in January. With this season running at a different pace, will that schedule stick? Do you have a time frame in mind as to when that release could be revealed?
Well, Mike, typically before the season starts, we produce a critical dates calendar. And all those dates are now out the window. And it's very difficult for everyone in all aspects of our society right now to really look forward with any certainty as far as planning schedules and making dates. From our experience with the clubs, and I have received quite a bit of feedback, for now, everyone is content with Central Scouting to continue just providing updates to the ABC formula. As we get our opportunity to see players play, we would not try and do any type of comprehensive list until all the relevant leagues, like until the WHL and the OHL are up and running, getting games played where we get viewings. And once we get to that point, we would look down the road. And if we can get all three leagues going at some point in the springtime, we would probably look at putting out some type of a comprehensive list after it gave our scouts a chance. And the one thing I'm just going to bring up again is that typically the landscape for scouting, I think, may be changed forever by this in the sense that typically you go and view a player, you watch a player, and then you would follow it up with some video. And sometimes you would read game reports before you went out, or you went after, or you'd read the reports after you came back. But now we're going to be watching a player on video before we actually get to see him play live. So it's going to be a very interesting dynamic just to see the scouts' mindset. And this is going to vary from team to team. David and I have talked about that with our staff. How is it going to affect how they might approach scouting in the future? Do they find it beneficial to watch a player on video before they see him live, or do they prefer to watch him live before they follow up and do it with video? But I do think the video content and the analytics that it brings has stepped up to where now it's going to be almost an everyday part of scouting going forward.
That's fantastic stuff. And you're right. It's going to change everything from how scouting works. But, you know, we could talk all day about scouting philosophy and all these top prospects. But for now, Dan Marr and David Gregory from NHL Central Scouting, thank you very much for joining us on NHL Draft Class today.
Thanks so much for having us, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thanks again to Dan Marr and David Gregory from NHL Central Scouting joining us today on the show. What really stood out to me, Mike, was kind of what you got Dan talking about at the end there, where their critical dates calendar is sort of out the window and the traditional scouting season is going to look entirely different. There isn't going to be that traditional 1 through 217 midterm ranking that we're used to seeing, you know, mid-January, because a lot of these guys won't have played yet. You know, the OHL isn't going to start till January. Hopefully the WHL isn't going to really start till January. Hopefully some of the European leagues have been in and out. So they're going to keep with the player to watch list, I guess. And then fingers crossed that we get the spring ranking before the draft, you know, assuming that's still held on its usual schedule in June. So things are going to look a little bit different this year, but when the scouts are able to get out and see the guys, you know, we talked about a few of them, Owen Power. I had the chance to see him, you know, Big Ten Network had the Michigan Arizona State season opening weekend, and geez, Power just, he jumps off the page, just jumps off the screen, 6'5", and he skates the way he skates and he controls the play. And you know, there's a fearlessness to his game, but a smart and controlled approach that, you know, he's obvious every time he's on the ice. Who else, you know, have you been able to see, you know, a little bit on video, a little bit here on TV? Who have you kind of, who stood out to you?
Well, I mean, following up what you just said there, Adam, those three at Michigan, that's going to be really fun to watch. I mean, Owen Power, the defenseman, was one player, but Kent Johnson had a great weekend against ASU. I believe he was named by Michigan one of their three stars of the weekend in that, you know, that doubleheader that they happened to win. Scored, assisted, played a bottom six role with Matty Beniers, the other University of Michigan player who's an A-rated skater in Central's ranking. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But, you know, you go back a couple of years and what the United States National Team Development Program had with all those players that were drafted in the first round, beginning with Jack Hughes, of course, the New Jersey Devils. But there's a few players on the NTTB this year that are going to stand out. Luke Hughes, Jack's brother, a defenseman. They're saying that he could be the best of the bunch. He certainly has more height or size than his brothers.
Not
so
a big word to clear there.
Defensively, that's going to play, you know, be, you know, pay off for Luke and his gapping and what he needs to do to become an effective defenseman. So many good things about Luke Hughes and what he's able to do. Obviously, Quinn was a finalist for the Calder Trophy this past season. Jack is coming into his own with the Devils, so it's going to be nice to see all three Hughes brothers on the ice in the NHL at some point down the road. And then, you know, the other player from the NTTP who you mentioned as well, Chaz Lucius, dominating sniper, you know, from Minnesota, was huge for the under 17s last season. So another player I'm looking forward to watching this season. You know, Brant Clark, a defenseman from Barry, another A-rated skater, highly skilled, top scoring blue liner in the OHL, and he's already a dangerous part of Barry's attack as a defenseman, coming in as that you know, that fourth player on the rush. You know, you look at a player like Dylan Gunther, the right wing from Edmonton in the Western Hockey League, high scoring rookie in the Dub, plays in Edmonton's, you know, on the top line there, and does plenty of damage 5-on-5 as well. So you mentioned too when you spoke to Dan about Atu Ratti, obviously a kid over in Europe. He'll probably, we would think, will be a part of Finland's team for the World Junior Championship. And then, you know, goaltending wise too, it looks like it's going to be a rather good scenario as far as European players go again. You know, with Jesper Wallstad, as I mentioned in our conversation with Dan Moore and David Gregory there. So a lot of players to keep in mind here, you know, entering the 2021 draft. It's going to be an exciting season. There's a little bit of an unknown here, right, Adam, with everything going on. But, you know, I think in the long run, it's going to be interesting. And to see these kids finally get on the ice and play with and do what they do best is going to be nice to see.
It will be a very long season. It will be a unique season, one that we've kind of never really gone through before from a scouting perspective. But it's going to be interesting. You know, there's a lot of good talent out there, a lot of good guys to watch. And we've got a long run to the 2021 draft. But we will be with you at NHL Draft Class, so please stay tuned. We'll be popping up from time to time to talk to the scouts and talk to the prospects. But for right now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.